Me'ilah, Chapter 6, Mishnahs 1 and 2. Mishnah 1 begins. HaShaliach She'asa Shlichuso. So if an agent, and it seems to be similar to the Mishnayos in the end of Chapter 5, we're dealing with an agent of the temple treasurer, had been instructed to take property that actually belonged to the temple, Bal HaBayit Ma'o, the householder, in other words, the temple treasurer who sent his agent, that he, the temple treasurer, is actually the one who has committed the act of mi'ilah, the act of misappropriation. Lo asa shlichuso, but if he did not perform his assignment, if the shaliach deviated in some way, hashaliach mal, then the agent himself has committed mi'ilah, has committed misappropriation of temple funds. Now, what's interesting about this first line here is that sometimes in halacha and Jewish law, agency, if someone does an agent for somebody to do a crime, the agent is punishable. But here, actually, those who have a chance to learn the Masechet in Masechet Me'ilah on page 18b, the Talmud tells us that there's a gezeira shava linking Me'ilah to Chuma. It teaches us that with respect to Me'ilah, when it comes to the prohibition of misappropriation, there is agency for a transgression. That if you hire someone to do something for you and that leads them to misappropriate or transgress, we consider it as if you yourself did it, not your agent. But that's only if, says the Mishnah, if the agent did exactly what you told them. But if they deviate, then they themselves are responsible. Now the Mishnah is going to give us some examples. Ketzad, how so? Amar lo tein batzer l'orchem. If the householder said to his agent, give meat to this guest, to these guests, and it seems to be that the meat was going to be meat that belonged to the temple, but the agent did not exactly listen. Rather, what he did was v'nasam lahem kaved, and he gave them liver. Or if the agent said to them kaved v'nasam lahem basar, or if he instructed the agent to give guests liver, but the agent actually gave them meat, and it turned out no one was doing this stuff on purpose, but it turned out that this meat or liver really belonged to Hekdesh, hashliach ma'al, the agent has committed milah because he did not follow the word of his master, and therefore of his, of the person sending him, and therefore he is responsible for the misappropriation of the meat. Armelo, however, if the household person, the temple treasurer in our case, said to his agent, Tame lehem chaticha chaticha, let's say he said to them, give the guest here one piece of meat, and the agent went further, and the agent went to the people, said, take two pieces, the haim not lushalosh, but the people, the guest, actually took three pieces. So the Balabai, the owner, the household owner, who happens to also be the temple treasurer here, says, take one piece. His agent offers the people two pieces, and the guests take three. So everyone kind of does their a little bit of their own thing. What happens in this case? Kulam malu. All of them have committed milah, because the household person committed milah by offering the first piece of meat that belongs to the temple. The agent is committed milah by adding, by deviating and offering the second piece, and the people themselves have deviated also from what they were offered, and they took a third piece, and therefore they committed milah. In all these cases, they weren't doing it on purpose, but it turns out later that the meat belonged to Hekdesh, belonged to temple, and therefore in all these cases, each one of these three parties is responsible to milah. Mishnah continues, Amar lo, so if this householder, who seems to be in our case the temple treasurer, said to his agent, Haveli mina chalon omin hadaluskama, bring me coins from the alcove or from a bag, and the agent brought him coins, but he did not bring him coins that were his own property. He accidentally brought him coins in that same section of the house that belonged to the temple. Even though the householder says, I did not intend to take the coins of the temple. I meant my own coins. And he brought coins from that place. He, my agent, did. So the temple leader, the temple leader was trying to say the blame isn't on me. The blame should be on my agent. Even though he tries claiming that, Balabayat Mal, the household, the temple agent actually is the one who gets me the misappropriation, because the bottom line is the agent did exactly what he said. He said, bring me coins from the bag, bring me coins from the alcove, and that's where he got him the coins. Whether, even though he had in his heart that he wants specifically these coins, it doesn't matter. Aval, im amrlo, but if the household said to the agent, Heveli min achalon, bring for me from the alcove, Pevili minadluskamo, or bring for me from my bag. Oh, minadluskamo, or he told him to bring coins from the bag, vehevili minachalom. But what happens, in fact, what happened was that the agent brought coins from the alcove instead of the bag, or he brought it from the bag instead of the alcove. So in this case, the shaliach, the agent, messed up. Hashaliach mal. In that case, if the agent accidentally brought coins that belonged to the temple, he himself is obligated in paying for the milah, dealing with the milah prohibition. That's because he deviated somewhat from what his household, the person that sent him, told him to do. That's the end of Mishnah 1. Mishnah 2. Shalach biyad chere shote v'katan. So let's say if the householder sent money of hektish with somebody who is a deaf mute, somebody who is deranged, or minor, and he asked them to purchase something with this money that belonged to the temple. Im asu shichusan. If they actually do their agency exactly as he asked, Bal habay mal. In this case, the agents are not obligated because these people, we do not obligate them. Rather, the Bal habay, the householder who sent them, has committed milah. Lo asu shlichosan. But if they did not perform their agency as instructed, in that case, again, they do not get milah. Rather, chenvani mal. The storekeeper, who, again, he doesn't know that he's using money of the temple necessarily, but he ends up with the money in his store, and when he uses that money to pay other bills, he commits milah. He has misappropriated, technically. So now it's another case. Shalach biyad pikeach. Let's say the householder sent money, again, not on purpose, but sent money of that belonged to the temple with somebody who's competent. V'niskar ad shelo higia etzach hamani. And he remembers. He sees them out the door, and he can't stop him, but he remembers. He said, oh no, I sent him with hektish's money. What should he do? So if he does nothing, chen v'nimal lekeshiyotzia, the storekeeper commits milah when he subsequently spends the money. And this is sort of a quirk, because in this particular case, the agent did exactly what he told him. So he, the householder, should really be obligated milah. But generally, milah really pertains only to one who unwittingly spends money of hektesh or derives benefit from hektesh property. So what happened in this case is because before his agent spent the money, he knew that it was technically belonged to hektesh, and he couldn't stop his agent. So him or his agent, technically, because they knew it was hektesh money, were not in violation of milah. So rather, when the storekeeper unwillingly uses the money, he would be in violation. But what should he ideally do? Ketzad yaseh? What should he do to spare the storekeeper from committing milah? Notel pruta o kliv omer. He should take a pruta or a utensil that has the value of a pruta, and he should say, pruta sheh hektesh b'kol makam shehu mechula al zeh. The pruta of hektesh, which I gave to my agent, which is now wherever it is, wherever it may be, is hereby deconsecrated upon this pruta utensil. Essentially, moving the sanctity of that money that's out there, where he doesn't know where it is exactly, onto the utensil where he has in his own home. And by doing this, shehekdesh nivta v'kesef u'shav v'kesef. And basically by doing this, he basically affects deconsecration for hektesh property. Property that belongs to the temple can be redeemed for money or for movable items worth money. And if he does this before the store owner actually spends that coin, then he has spared the store owner from mi'ilah. That's the end of Mishnah 2.